was a little two-star coming out of Bessemer area there at Jess Lanier High School. Right now, I welcome in a current Philadelphia Eagles right now. You don't play baseball, D'Amico Ryans, right? You are a football player, correct?
That's it.
Well, no doubt. And I don't, listen, but when I say that, and I hope I've known you well enough that when I say a two-star, that's not being offensive. You just were not spotted until a later day.
Oh, yeah, that's it, man. I never, you know, you kind of never forget that. Never forget where you come from and the rankings of, you know, how people thought about you back at that time. And I wasn't a, you know, highly touted, you know, athlete coming out of high school. Just a grinder, man. Just a hard worker. Just got it done. And I was, just, you know, always remember the opportunity that the University of Alabama gave me and allowed me to, you know, get a scholarship and come down there to play football.
D'Amico, how many offers did you have other than Alabama?
I think maybe two others, like at major schools like UAB and Mississippi State. And Alabama, as far as D1 schools, that was it.
Wow. Amazing what you were able to accomplish and wrote down, you know, obviously in the record books, being one of those great tacklers at the University of Alabama. D'Amico, do you remember the first time you ever had a chance to wear the crimson jersey?
Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, first time, it was actually a game in Birmingham. We played Middle Tennessee State. It was probably one of the last times that the team played in Birmingham. But my first game, eyes were pretty wide back then. Didn't know what I was doing. Probably, you know, a little scared out there on the field. But I remember it being a fantastic time, being a fun time, fun moment, being able to open up my collegiate career there in Birmingham.
D'Amico, you guys, and I was part of the athletic department when you were here, you guys had a really good chemistry. I mean, I go back and look at the guys that are still playing in the NFL from that era. You guys had a lot of great team chemistry back then. I remember that as well as it was if it was yesterday.
Oh, yeah, it was a fun group. It was a fun group to be around, guys caring about each other. It was love, you know, on the field and off the field. We always hung around each other, always did things together, had fun together, and that's what made our team really strong, and that's why I feel like we were tight and we were able to come together and play some good football because of just our bonding, not only on the field but off the field.
Now, where did the blue-collar, and I hope you don't mind if I call you a blue-collar linebacker, you're no doubt a very talented linebacker, but as you said in our opening couple of minutes here, you were just one of those guys that went to work. Where did that come from, man? Where did the work ethic come from?
And again, I always, you know, credit my mom for just, you know, her showing me the way as far as how you have to go out and work hard to get what you want out of life. And nothing's ever handed down to you. I learned that fairly early. And just seeing her, the way she just grinded and worked, you know, two and three jobs to support the family, seeing that kind of rubbed off on me. And then that's what I kind of carried and took from her in my life, and that carries over on the football field. And just in life, man, anybody out there, you got to grind hard, you got to work hard for something that's really worth it.
Right now we're talking with D'Amico Ryans. He's going to be honored at the game on Saturday against Texas A&M. He'll be one of the honorary captains along with Bob Baumhauer and one of his teammates there in Philadelphia, Evan Mathis. Right now we're talking with D'Amico Ryans and talking about what he was able to accomplish here at the University of Alabama. You also still give back to the university. I know you're a big part of the community, but you also fund a scholarship for the football team as well. And do I have that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, that's something that I wanted to do when I got done playing there. Again, I wanted my name, I wanted to have a legacy there at the university, not only just from playing, but from also just giving back, just knowing that how special that place, how special the university means to me. I know it's special to a lot of other people. And I was just blessed to be in a position and to where I could offer a scholarship to other players that will come up after me, a scholarship in my name. It's a scholarship for a football player that's in the business school. So it's just something I'm very, very proud of, having the opportunity to do that. And I'm just thankful, blessed, and I just hope that the guys who are utilizing it really understand, you know, why I do it, and I just pray that they're able to, you know, come back and also give back to help others that come after them.
That's amazing. You ever pinch yourself that you're able to do so much and you've got this platform? Obviously, God's blessed you with an amazing talent, but you're now entering your ninth year in the NFL. You've got a great foundation. You always find a way, whether it's around the holiday season, to go back to your community and help underprivileged kids, or if it's camps throughout the offseason, if it's, I believe you had a bowling tournament, I believe, with Bo Jackson, or a golf tournament a couple of months ago up in Bessemer. You ever pinch yourself and say, man, am I really doing this? Living a dream.
Yeah, it's definitely surreal, man. I never actually thought I would be, you know, this far along playing the NFL for this long, or just be able to do the things that I've done. But it just shows, you know, the power of God, man. The things that He's able to do with your life, the platform He's able to give you, even though you can't see it, He sees it. I just, you know, pray that I'm utilizing, you know, my gifts to the best of my ability.
DeMeco, now let's get to a little bit of a fun part of the show. Crazier fan base, the Eagles or the Crimson Tide fan base?
Definitely. I mean, crazier in a
good way.
Good way or bad way?
No, in a good way. Well, hey, Philadelphia can be in a bad way too now. Those guys are really rowdy.
Craziest fan, it has to be, you know, Alabama. Crazy. I mean, I never experienced that type of a fan done that those type of fans since I've been in the league. Is just, I always compare it back to my Alabama fans, and you guys are still second to none.
I'll tell you what, they still love you, and obviously your name comes up very often here in this area. Now, DeMeco, I also read where you wanted to get back into coaching. Now, we don't know if that's, you know, 4 years down the road, 5 years down the road, you've had a very successful career, and you still continue to be very productive from the linebacker position. You'd like to get into coaching at the college level, high school level, or do you have a preference?
I don't have a preference. You know, during the lockout a couple of years ago, I was able to go back to my old high school there, just Lanier. I was able to, you know, coach up the defense during the spring football, and I just had a blast, man. I really enjoyed it, you know, putting the time in. Didn't care about the long hours I was out there. I just enjoyed just helping those kids. So, you know, I, whether it's high school level or college level, you know, I don't know, but I really want to pursue that to see, you know, if I can be effective at coaching.
Well, listen, your knowledge of the game, you've always been one of those players that plays – with your intelligence of the game and to be able to read and react. I know you could be able to get that over to that defensive side of the football. You never know. I mean, hey, listen, you don't ever know where the dreams are going to be able to take you. 2040, the head football coach at the University of Alabama, DeMeco Ryans. I mean, I sort of like the sound of that.
Oh, yeah, sounds good to me.
No doubt would be able to go back. And let me ask you from a defensive perspective. Coach Saban coached in his 100th game at the University of Alabama, and I know you take a lot of pride in that crimson jersey, but what he was able to accomplish here and still going to be able to accomplish, but he won 84% of the games in the first 100 games, three national titles, two SEC championships, a lot of All-Americans. From a defensive mind like yours, how do you see Coach Saban?
Hey, I mean, you know, hands down, he's one of the best college football coaches ever. I mean, to have that type of run in your first 100 games at a university, you can't pull off too many other guys' resume and let it and it'll stand up to Coach Saban. I mean, he's done an outstanding job there. He has the fans expecting championship every time, every year that every new college season, the fans are expecting championship, and that's just the type of mentality that he's brought to the program, and he's just done a wonderful job, I think.
Let me ask you about this year's football team. There's been some ups and downs, and I think a lot of that's the expectations that Alabama and Nick Saban and the players set forth. When you win as many championships as they've done, we talked about 84 out of 100, you sort of set the ceiling high. They're 5-1, but they've got some areas that they need to improve if they're going to try to make a run at number 16. Your evaluation of Alabama so far?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think they're coming along. It's not, it's, it's kind of a different style of play that you see them playing now. Once again, they're 5-1. It's something, you know, it's hard to win football games. There's a lot of work that goes into it. I understand the preparation that those guys go through on a weekly basis. So it's tough to win a game. So anytime you win, you know, that's a plus. You know, yeah, you want to come out of that game with a win. So they're on the right side, and they're still – it's good to be correcting mistakes at 5-1. That's the good thing about it. So I continue to see them continue to get better, you know, on the defensive side, offense, special team, all three phases. I'll see them get better throughout the year. But I think they're sitting at a nice position right now.
Well, and no doubt they've got some areas they need to improve upon. Let me ask you, in that locker room, there's a lot of SEC guys there in Philadelphia that represent the Southeastern Conference. Any smack talk between, you know, maybe the Auburn guys? I'm not sure if there's – no, I think there is a couple of Auburn guys. But the Auburn guys, the Texas A&M guys, Tennessee guys, LSU, what's it like in that locker room with your teammates on the Philadelphia Eagles, but a little bit of SEC rivals in that locker room?
Yeah, well, I do have guys that, you know, Mississippi State, I think Fletcher Cox and Auburn, Cody Parkey, but Benny Logan from LSU. But one thing about it, man, I can walk in the locker room with my head high every week. It doesn't matter. I don't get much slack because they just say Alabama is Alabama. They know we're big-time football. We stand out among all the other programs. So it's not much smack talking that they can do to me on a weekly basis. So that's one thing I can say. I'm still, you know, proud of the tie and the way they just represent. You know, every time they step out on that field each week, they put it on the line. And everybody in the locker room knows, you know, you talk SEC football, you can't talk it without mentioning Alabama at the top.
All right, final question. You grew up 35 minutes away from Tuscaloosa. You grew up in this state. You understand Alabama football. You played here. You've watched what went on. Maybe if there's a guy that's coming from outside of the area, you know, he's a big-time, five-star guy. He steps on campus. He's playing here. What would you tell him exactly what that University of Alabama jersey means to so many, the way that you represented the Derek Thomases and the Cornelius Bennetts and the Leroy Jordans and the Woodrow Lowe that you chased his record? What would you tell him about wearing that Crimson jersey?
I tell you, at first it starts with the tradition. You know, it's those names you mentioned. You got to understand the Alabama tradition and the winning tradition that has gone on for years, the great players that have come through Alabama. You have to understand that first and foremost. And then you just have to understand that us in the state of Alabama, you have to choose early, you know, between, you know, Alabama or the other school down the road, you have to choose early. So I've been a Bama fan ever since I can remember. As a young kid growing up, I was always Roll Tide. So it's something that burns deep within me, and it's just passion that burns within me. It's something that's hard to explain to outsiders, because it's like you against your family member sometimes, because everybody's not always going for the same thing. But you know, if you bleed crimson, man, you know you're on the right side.
No doubt. And I like the way that you refer to that college. I forget the name, on the other side of the state. D'Amico Rines, maybe just take a couple of minutes to embrace. Obviously, the fans are going to, once they hear your name as the honorary captain on Saturday's game in the afternoon, I know they're going to give you a warm welcome back to Tuscaloosa. And we'll do that first here, man. Welcome back and have a lot of fun and embrace somebody that's going to give a lot of respect back to D'Amico Rines. The fans here in Tuscaloosa absolutely love you. Your name comes up quite often, and we appreciate you being part of our show here in Tuscaloosa. I hope you continue the success there in Philadelphia, and we'll continue to follow your career in the National Football League. Thank you, man.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Best of luck to you also.